I am not ashamed of the gospel, this good news about messianic salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes this message. And that is our greatest need, is messianic salvation, first to the Jewish people and then to everybody else. Well, shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren. I'm coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. And today I want to talk about religion and politics. You may have heard people say there are two things that you shouldn't talk about in polite company, religion and politics. Well, the Bible teaches us a lot about religion and a lot about politics, and the two are very much connected. Religion, or lack of religion, very much affects our politics, which is the way a community or a nation organizes itself. A nation will be blessed or cursed, happy or miserable, rise or fall based on its religion. Our religion, or our worldview, and I'm using the word religion and the word worldview interchangeably. In other words, the most important things we believe will hugely affect us and others and our society. Beliefs really do matter. If our most important beliefs, our core beliefs, are true because they line up with reality, we will be blessed, because it is so much more beneficial to be lined up with reality. Simply, things work better when they work according to design. So the truth, reality, helps. Truth benefits. The truth sets us free. Ignorance and error damage, harm, destroy. From right belief flows right actions. From right belief and right actions come victory and happiness. So with that in mind, I want to talk about religion and politics, especially from the book of Proverbs, which is full of practical wisdom, and specifically chapter 9 of Proverbs, starting with verse 2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. The righteous are those in a right relationship with the living God. They know the truth about the three-in-one God of Israel, and they have ended their part in the great rebellion against God. The righteous know the Lord, and they know his requirements and principles, and they try to live according to his requirements and his principles. So when the righteous increase, when there are more and more people who know the truth about God and live according to God's standards, good things happen. They and their society around them are better off. They are blessed. The people rejoice. They are happier because they are living according to the truth. They are living according to the moral and spiritual laws of a God-designed universe. Righteousness adds happiness and blessing to any society. So we want the righteous, which means genuine evangelical Christians and born-again messianic Jews, we want the righteous to increase. We want to cultivate a climate where righteousness can flourish. And for most of the history of the United States, our culture did just that. It reinforced faith in God. It reinforced Christianity and biblical standards. But that started changing, I would say, in the 1960s. And now our culture cultivates a climate that is hostile to righteousness, hostile to God and the Bible and Christianity and godly values. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Years ago, I learned that because of the great spiritual revival that took place in Britain in the 1700s, led in part by the Wesley brothers and the first Methodists, British society was transformed for the good. Not only was the slave trade abolished, this horrible practice, but this took place decades before we abolished it in this country. And that involved a horrible civil war for us. But because of the transformation of British society through the spiritual revival that took place through the Wesleys and the Methodists and evangelical Christianity, the slave trade was abandoned and other great reforms were made to their society, like getting rid of child labor. Child labor laws and other great reforms were instituted, and it made British society a much better place. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. And the opposite is true. When a wicked man rules, people groan. They're unhappy. Their lives are worse off. Who are the wicked? The wicked are those who do not submit themselves to God and God's good laws. The God ignorers and the God rejectors harm their societies and people groan. Think of Adolf Hitler and his wickedness. He was truly a wicked man. His embracing of the occult and pagan things and evolutionary beliefs and his wicked hatred of the Jewish people, especially when the Bible teaches us to love and bless the Jewish people. Think of Hitler's willingness to go to war. Think of all the damage this one man did to tens of millions of people. When a wicked man rules, people groan. Think of the communist leaders with their crazy ideas, their crazy worldview, their anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-righteousness core beliefs enabled them to murder and enslave hundreds of millions and made hundreds of millions groan in anguish. Since our society started drinking the Kool-Aid of secular humanism combined with socialism, crime, murder, divorce, broken homes, drug and alcohol addictions, suicides, and all the unhappiness that comes from these things has risen dramatically. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. So let's make a determination to choose the way of righteousness for ourselves, try to be in a right relationship with the three-in-one God, consistently try to do the right things that honor God, and let's try to persuade others to be righteous men, righteous women. Again, this is Rabbi Loren Jacobs. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and I'm talking today about religion and politics from the book of Proverbs, this book filled with divine wisdom, practical wisdom, and I'm talking from Proverbs chapter 29, now verse 16. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Sin creates more sin. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. We need to know what is right and what is wrong. We need to work and pray and speak to increase righteousness and minimize wickedness and transgression. Because when the wicked increase, transgression increases. But the righteous will see their fall. My friends, evil is real. And in a fallen world, evil will exist and it will spread, and it spreads easily. But we should be encouraged by knowing that evil has a shelf life. Time is limited for evil and for evil men. Evil men will fall. Think about it. They can only live 70 to 80 years. And one of the pleasures in life is living long enough to see evil men fall. Even Even evil empires fall. Babylon, Persia, Rome, the mighty Soviet Union, all played their powerful roles on the stage of world history and then exited the stage. Evil ideas will fall. Evil ideas like Nazism, which seems so powerful, will eventually come to an end. Anti-Semitism, communism, racism, evolution, secular humanism, atheism will fall one day. Evil practices like abortion will fall one day and will come to an end. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Why must evil men, evil empires, evil ideas, evil practices come to an end? Well, the righteous God is opposing them and working against them. And a God-designed universe with truth and morality built into it is working against them. And the Spirit of God is working against them. And the image of God in humanity and the gift of conscience is working against them. And God's people should be actively working against them by knowing the truth, living the truth, speaking the truth, fighting for what is right. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. And here's some more good news. Not only will evil men, evil empires, evil ideas and evil practices come to an end one day, but a day is coming when the righteous will see the fall of all evil, all transgression, all crossing of boundaries that should not be crossed. A day is coming when the vision of John that is recorded in the book of Revelation about the new Jerusalem will be fulfilled. Nothing impure will ever enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. And today I'm talking about religion and politics, how our core beliefs will impact our society based on the Book of Proverbs. Chapter 29. Let's take a look at verse 4. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows the land. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows the nation. Good moral leadership is crucial to the success of any nation. Justice, doing what is right, operating according to the moral principles of a God-designed universe, treating everyone fairly according to God's principles, is the necessary foundation of national stability. Injustice, doing what is unfair, doing what isn't right, like political leaders taking money so that the one who gives the money is given preference, creates instability. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows the land. And isn't that exactly what has been happening in our society? I am convinced that not only gross negligence, but real criminal activity has been taking place in the financial system, among the big banks and the Wall Street firms and many mortgage companies, and almost no one has been charged or prosecuted or gone to jail for this gross negligence or criminal activity. What am I talking about? The big banks and Wall Street firms took on an insane amount of financial risk. They levered themselves insanely by borrowing way too much money and then investing it in risky investments. And then when they lost billions, They turned to the government, and government officials bailed them out with your money, with taxpayer money. No one was fired. No one was sent to jail for this gross negligence, this crony capitalism. Instead, many of the perpetrators continued to get huge bonuses, in large part paid for by the poorer taxpayers, you and me. Hundreds of thousands of fraudulent mortgage documents have been created and fraudulently signed over the past several years to prop up this housing market. And what has been the government's response to this gross negligence, to this fraud, to this corruption? Almost nothing. The FBI, the SEC, the Justice Department, other regulatory agencies have seemingly done hardly a thing. If they do launch an investigation and they do find that something is wrong, a mere slap on the wrist is given to these organizations. Criminal charges are almost never filed, and only a relatively small fine is imposed on these huge companies, and the company merely considers that small fine as part of the cost of doing business and sloughs it off and carries the expense on over to the rest of us. Now, my question is, could this lack of enforcement of law be due to the millions of dollars flowing from the large banks and the Wall Street firms to the super PACs and all the contributions and all the bundlers of contributions who give to the campaigns of the politicians and all the influence that is bought by the thousands of lobbyists? Proverbs 29, verse 4, the king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes, who takes money, overthrows the land. If a poor person steals $100 from a store to feed his family, in some places it can be a felony, and that man can go to jail for a long time. But if a member of the 1% steals millions from his clients, nothing might happen. I encourage you to watch what happens to or doesn't happen to John Corzine, former governor of New Jersey and former chairman of Goldman Sachs, this huge Wall Street firm. See if John Corzine is charged with any crimes and goes to jail for what happened at MF Global, which seems to include misappropriating millions of dollars from the accounts of his clients. Millions. What is even more disappointing to me is that President Obama came into office with the promise of hope and change. He was really going to change things. But he and his officials, who supposedly are on the side of the people, the little guy, have been taking the money from that 1%, from the big Wall Street banks and the hedge funds and the too bigs to fails, and they have been supporting the policies of the 1% that further enrich the 1%, just like most of the leaders of the Republican Party. The king gives stability to the land by justice. But a man who takes money, who takes bribes to show favoritism, overthrows the land. My friends, we need men and women who are godly and moral and not motivated by money and personal gain. Let's pray. Let's vote toward that end. This is Rabbi Lauren. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. I'm talking about religion and politics based on Proverbs 29:8. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn anger away. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn anger away. Scorners, those who make fun of God and the Bible and Christianity and morality, are devastating to a society. They will burn it down. They will set the city aflame. Think of the mockers and the scorners at the bottom of Mount Sinai, the Jewish people who had just left Egypt, who had seen all the great miracles that God had done, who had experienced God's great salvation. They're at the bottom of Mount Sinai, worshiping golden calves, worshiping other gods, and engaging in immorality. And think of the destruction that they caused. And also think of wise Moses on top of Mount Sinai, who was able to turn the anger and judgment of God away. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. And hasn't the same thing been happening in our society? The scorners, the mockers of Hollywood, and the producers of most of our TV, and the mavens of the popular culture have been making fun of religion and morality and advocating for their corrupt values for 50 years. And I think it's clear that our society is going from bad to worse. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Let's confront the scorn of the scorners. Let's summon the courage to speak out, to speak the truth. Let's you and I turn anger away. God's anger, a righteous anger that comes from violating the laws that God has designed into a moral universe. Let's summon the courage to speak the truth and stand for God and for his wise principles. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren, and you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is a Friday afternoon Shabbat. The Jewish Sabbath is going to start tonight at sunset, which means that we are going to have Shabbat services tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. And, of course, our services are open to everybody, Jews and Gentiles. Often I am asked, Rabbi Lauren, I'm not Jewish. Would I be welcome at Congregation Shema Yisrael? And, of course, the answer is absolutely yes. Congregation Shema Yisrael is a Messianic Jewish congregation. We are made up of Jewish believers who love the Jewish Messiah, but we also are made up of wonderful kosher-hearted Gentiles who are attracted to our Jewish form of Christianity, who want to learn more about the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, the Jewishness of Jesus, the Jewishness of the apostles, the Jewishness of the New Testament. So, yes, feel free to join us tomorrow morning, Saturday at 10:30 at Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. It's on Telegraph Road, just north of Long Lake, which is 18 Mile. And then I want to talk about a lunch for pastors, which is coming up at the end of this month. We are having a lunch to explore the relationship between the church and the Jewish community, as well as some of the latest trends affecting ministry to the Jewish people. Our keynote speaker will be David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, the largest Messianic Jewish outreach ministry in the world. So if you are a pastor or if you have a pastor, either join us yourself if you're the pastor or tell your pastor to join us for lunch on Tuesday, February 28th at the Regency Manor in Southfield. Lunch is free. However, there will be an opportunity to make a donation to help the excellent work of Jews for Jesus. And for more information, you can go to our website, which is shema.com. Also, we are scheduling Messiah and the Passover presentations for the Passover Easter season. Messiah and the Passover is a 45-minute explanation how the traditional items of the Passover Seder connect to the Jewish people, but also to the New Testament. We want to help people experience how Jewish people celebrate this special holiday, how Yeshua celebrated Passover, and how he is beautifully portrayed in the Passover service. So find out why Christ, our Passover, took the cup after supper and the unleavened bread and said, "This is my body. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Go to shema.com for more information about scheduling Messiah in the Passover presentations. Again, this is Rabbi Lauren Jacobs. It has been wonderful to be with you on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.